entrepreneurship becomes very important because we need to grow our own.
The Grow Hayes Pitch It event recently helped spur economic development ideas from area youth. Grow Hayes Executive Director Doug Williams talks to us about that and more on this episode of the Post Podcast.
It was a great event. It really came off better than I ever would have thought it was going to tell you the truth. But we had some great participants and some young people with good ideas and good work ethics, and it was really great to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe we should back this up just a little bit and let everybody know. It was like, it's a Shark Tank style event. You're planning on doing these twice a year from here on out with three judges from, I don't remember where they were from.
Well, they were local. I mean, we actually, they weren't local. We had one judge was,
You're the same
Michael,
problem I
Michael
today.
Schaefer, who's a local wealth management consultant. And then we had Christy Preston with Network Kansas, who is sponsors a lot of our entrepreneurial activities. And then Lori Piper with the Small Business Development Corporation were the three judges. And the contestants come up and they give a 3-minute pitch. It's kind of an elevator pitch. You know, the concept being, if I'm on an elevator ride, explain to me what your business idea is and how it works. And then they're subjected to some questions from the judges. Actually, it's a 5-minute pitch, and the judges have 3 minutes to ask them questions. And then the judges rate them and they decide who was the best, first, second, third. And we give cash prizes, gave $1,000 to the winner, $500 to second place. And Network Kansas, there were a couple of people that were so close, they said, hey, we got to give a little more money. And Network Kansas came up with another $250 for us, and we gave a third place prize. So it was really good. I was really impressed with their performances, and it was a fun night.
Yeah, and you mentioned this already, but this was very surprising to me. All of them were very young. I think the oldest was like maybe sophomore, junior level in college.
Right.
A couple of high school teams.
Of the six participants, four, I believe, were high school kids, and two were college kids. And so very young. Sometimes we like to get people from the community that may have an idea that may be a little bit older and in a job, and they're looking to leave that job and start their own business. Didn't have that this time around. But we had a good group of young kids, and they did a really great job with their presentations and their ideas.
Yeah, and I was also kind of surprised to hear, you know, when I saw how young everybody was, I thought, okay, we're going to have some weird kind of crazy fun ideas. And there was some, I won't say, there were some offbeat ideas, I think, but viable, right? But what I thought was even especially cooler was a couple of them are already operating. They have viable businesses, these young entrepreneurs.
And that's what's really kind of cool when you see this stuff is you've got some young people who are actually out there doing things. You know, a couple guys who had a power washing business that are out there doing jobs, you know, power washing fences or driveways or whatever it might be. And just a lot of them are actually out doing what they are presenting for. So it's exciting to see that. As we continue to try and build this culture locally of entrepreneurship, because we feel it's so important, it's really great to see that there are actually kids and people out there doing things, starting businesses, and serving needs within the community.
Yeah, and as you alluded to, it's one of the things that we talk about pretty frequently, but I wonder if we want to spend a minute on, you know, why that is so important to foster that entrepreneurial spirit, and especially in those younger folks.
Well, you know, when we look at our community and we talk about the economic environment today, really in a lot of places, we really are not in a position to recruit a company to our community that's going to employ 200 people. You know, they're going to come in and they're going to need 200-300 people. We just don't have the people. And so the only thing that would accomplish is that they come in and they steal employees from other businesses and create hardships on those other businesses. So entrepreneurship becomes very important because we need to grow our own and have companies that can start small and then grow organically over time and add people incrementally as opposed to these big one-time hits. I mean, we'd love to have them, but I just don't know how we would handle these large one-time hits. So entrepreneurship becomes very important. That's kind of the concept of the micro factory. You know, start small, grow, outgrow that facility and move into your own. This type of thing goes even down another level and starts at a younger age, where you're really starting to foster ideas that are at the very infancy and try and grow from there. So that's why it's important here. And we're very fortunate in Ellis County. You know, Fort Hays State has a lot of entrepreneurial type of activities, curriculum, and we're fortunate to have that here.
Yeah, you mentioned in that about the microfactory, and I think about all of those developing technologies and systems that have the focus of the 14, 16 year olds that are coming into that world and thinking about, okay, this is cool, what can I do with it? And the microfactory is going to, I think, be a key part, or facilities like that, of making those kind of dreams reality.
We hope so. We kind of think BriefSpace is kind of like that too. You know, it's a business incubator environment where you've got space. You know, you need physical space to do what you're doing. You come in and you're surrounded by like-minded individuals who can bounce things off, ideas off of each other, and things can sprout from that. And the microfactory will be that. These pitch-it events will serve as a vehicle to do that. You know, hopefully somebody in the audience sees this idea, then this young person who has this great idea, and can help them either financially or with just experience grow that business and turn it into even more than what they've started.
Yeah. And again, a couple of them functioning, running business currently. But then I also loved the idea, and it was the winner. He was thinking about something that Hays didn't have, and how can we bring it here?
Right. His fighting game arcade, which I never would have thought of, but I'm always amazed at the gaming industry, how big it really is. Mm-hmm. If you look at the sales that some of these organizations have, it is huge. And there is a huge audience out there. And his idea was a fighting game arcade, basically, where people could come and experiment with games rather than buy it. They could try it, do trials and that kind of thing. And it was kind of a clever idea, and he was the winner. And who knows, maybe he'll get it off the ground. I don't know. He goes to Fort Hays State and a Western Kansas kid. So hopefully he can take it to some level and make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of those things that ends up being, could be more than a local business. You open that something like in Hays and you start franchising, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's on the map internationally.
Could be, but
that might be a bit of a reach on that.
The other interesting thing was the tournaments and that kind of thing that they hold, which brings people to town. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little like the disc golf stuff down there. I mean, people don't realize how big that is either. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people that play disc golf in our park. We've got what people tell me is a great disc golf facility here. And you go down there in the summertime when they have these tournaments, I mean, there are people from all over the Midwest that come to that thing. So a lot of attendance.
Absolutely. You know, before we run out of time, we kind of wanted to talk about this as well. We've been talking in recent weeks about the nonprofit organizations that help support the entrepreneurial endeavors, the governmental organizations. And we've seen that in action recently with a couple pretty big grant announcements that are going to fix or go to help fix some of our ongoing economic challenges, right?
Yeah, the Victoria former St. John's Rest Home has received a couple of grants in the last 30 days. One from the Hanson Foundation for $500,000 and an Adobe base grant for $850,000 to do some remodeling over there and restoration of that building into some apartments. Ultimately, hopefully, the Historical Society would locate there and a childcare facility over there, too. So a great news, great use of that, the ability to repurpose that building. You know, it's sitting there doing nothing. It's 45,000 square feet. And to be able to turn that into some housing, which we desperately need, some childcare opportunity there, as well as the Historical Society location, which would draw people into Victoria. That was great news. And it's not everything they need, but it sure is a great jump out of the gate to get things started over there. And then Gela's also received a base grant. I believe it was a little under $600,000 to do some remodeling and some things downtown in Hays. And that's a great grant, too. Gela's is so important to our downtown area. People come from all over the place, off the interstate and all over the country, and they go downtown. They eat at Gela's. And then they go to the other places downtown, you know, and that's awesome to drive traffic downtown. So another good investment being made in our downtown area.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think about back to the Victoria project. It's been really cool. I've got to see a lot of that firsthand as I, you know, cover Victoria for Hayes Post. But it's an organic process. Everybody in the community is stepping up rather than some outside developer saying, oh, here's some property. Because that's how it's set there for 10 years. Developers kept buying it and losing it and foreclosures. But this is from within Victoria. They've recognized their own needs and are taking it upon themselves to fix it.
Definitely. You know, Jeff Pfeiffer bought it with a vision at the tax sale. And, you know, I give Jeff all the credit in the world, as well as those who have helped him. I think it's Roseanne Dreiling and some others that have been very involved in that. And they absolutely have. They've taken that. It's a passionate or a venture for them. They want to make something happen. They want to repurpose that building and into something other than like storage units or something like that, which other buildings have been used for there. Not that that's not a good use, but this will be so much better to meet some of the needs of that community with housing and childcare and then a home for the Historical Society, hopefully.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when you talk about $1.35 million, I think that's a testament to those efforts. These organizations that selected them as the recipients, from my understanding, most of those grants were very, very competitive.
Oh, definitely. I think there was $2 billion in applications for $50 million in money. And somebody had pointed out to me the other day that of the base grants, which is we got a base grant to build the microfactory as well. But we represent about 1% of the population in the state, Ellis County does, and we got about 6% of the base grant funds. So kudos to those who wrote good grant proposals and made it happen. And now it's our job to put those funds to good use.